Thanks for sticking with us on The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and I'm going to take a minute and pass the mic to Representative Barbara Lee of California, who sent us this voice memo on our next topic. Congresswoman Lee, take it away.
You know, since the start of this pandemic, over 8 million people have fallen into poverty, which means more and more people are not able to afford diapers and other necessities. What's worse is most child care centers won't accept a child without a family supplying an adequate supply of diapers, which means that without them, families cannot work or pursue job opportunities. Low-income families with infants spend 14% of their income on diapers alone. Currently, there is no federal assistance for purchasing diapers, even though pre-pandemic, more than 5 million children under the age of 3 live in low-income families.
That's right, diapers. They are a fundamental need for every child for much of the first 2 to 3 years of life. But as you just heard from Representative Lee, many families struggle to afford them.
So 1 in 3 families experience diaper need. There's no assistance for diapers. WIC and food stamps do not cover them, and they cost up to $100 a month. So families are making really tough decisions between buying food or buying diapers. And every single time, they will choose to feed their children and try to make those diapers last as long as they can. So we're seeing babies left in one diaper a day, families rinsing out and reusing diapers, and parents making really tough decisions about basic need items that they shouldn't have to make.
Now that was Michelle Old, executive director of the North Carolina Diaper Bank, who joined my co-host Dorian Warren and me last year to talk about diaper need for an episode of System Check from The Nation magazine. I should also note that I sit on the advisory board of the North Carolina Diaper Bank. Now, we also asked you whether any of you ever struggled to pay for diapers and the effect that it's had on you and your family.
My name is Delia Smith. I'm calling from South San Francisco, California. My son is 41 now. I had him when I was 18. And yes, I did have trouble paying for diapers many, many times because it seemed that he would get diarrhea when I was short of funds. And it did have quite an impact because I would put things in the pawn shop and I would sell records to the used bookstore or sell books to the used bookstore in order to pay for diapers.
This is Renee from Arkansas. Yes, buying diapers really affected my family to the point where I couldn't eat so that I could have diapers for my child. And so, yes, it would put a strain on us financially. And I had to get another job actually to get out of it.
This is Nicole calling from Lamarck, Texas. The time frame when I was unable to provide diapers for my kids, I was going to local banks that give away diapers. And the Baby Stewart Foundation is a nonprofit organization in my area that really, really, really helped me out.
Hi, this is Melody in Richmond, Virginia. When our daughter was born in October of 2015, my partner and I really struggled to make ends meet. Diapers were a necessity, and we considered using cloth diapers, but couldn't really afford the additional time and effort. Each month, we went further into debt and just paying for the necessities with our credit cards. I was employed at a prestigious private university as an administrative assistant, and my partner was a maintenance supervisor for a large apartment community. We lived in a small two-bedroom, 760-square-foot house, and together our incomes couldn't meet all our needs. And so all in all, between the diapers and child care expenses, we've really struggled.
Thank you all for calling in and sharing your stories. We turn now to Chibeli Carzana, an economy reporter for The 19th. She recently wrote an article about diaper need in rural Missouri and explained to us just how far-reaching this issue is.
I think what's surprising when you start to learn about diaper need is exactly that, how far-reaching it is. 1 in 3 families will experience diaper need at some point with their children, and it is not something that is specifically only, you know, low-income families are facing this. No, middle-income families as well. Diapers are really expensive. I mean, about $100 a month, and the price has been going up since the pandemic began. And so it's this huge expense that is non-transferable. Think about food, for example. You can ration it, you can exchange with somebody, you can go to a food bank quite easily. Diapers are not like that. It's a diaper or a diaper, right? So there's really not a lot of options for parents. And that's where it becomes really, really difficult with diaper need, is just there aren't options. It's very expensive. And then you have this sort of third component where it's really highly stigmatized. Mm-hmm. So although it's very common, most folks are not willing to speak about it because they don't want to admit that they can't keep their children clean or dry. They don't want to say that this is something that is really expensive to them, that they're cutting corners, like Renee, the person who called in saying, you know, I'm eating less to be able to buy diapers. That's the reality for many folks. But for many, many, many years, it's been something that folks just, and still is something that folks just don't talk about.
Now, let's walk through a couple components of this, because when you talk about it being non-transferable, right, and you have to change diapers a certain number of times, and yet one of the heartbreaking aspects of your reporting is about how people, because they simply do not have the money to buy the pack of diapers, will in fact transfer, will have to make some pretty tough choices. What are some of the things you heard from parents?
Yeah. So for this story, we went out to Missouri, went out to the Ozarks, and went out with a local diaper bank to meet families that were getting diapers at these distributions at food banks. And one of the stories that really stuck with me was a mother in Missouri. Her name was Angela, who was there with her three-year-old. Her three-year-old was almost 100% potty trained. So she got a couple diapers for her, didn't know she could. I mean, the look on her face when they offered them to her, of total relief. This woman has 5 kids, and at a point she had 3 of them in diapers. And so she talks about that period in time specifically being, she says, you know, diapers put me on my knees. I was begging for diapers. I was getting together all of my jewelry and pawning it. And she remembers exactly how much she got for that, $20. And she knows exactly what she got with that, a big pack of Love's diapers. She remembers going into a store and finding a cheap pack for $8, but she only had 5. So she begged and begged for that discount and they just wouldn't give it to her. So at the times when she hasn't been able to get enough diapers, she's gotten a maxi pad and put it on little pink toddler panties and hoped that that would hold on. She's wrapped her children in towels. I mean, she's done what she must. And she's talked about it as something that has really rattled her conviction as a parent, as a mother, wondering, you know, am I good enough for these children? And that's something that we heard a lot. And we know that diaper need is a greater indicator of postpartum depression than food insecurity, than housing insecurity. I mean, it's really connected to all of these things and really, really difficult for these parents when they can't afford it.
And of course, one of those reasons that it is even more connected than food insecurity and housing insecurity is because there are no, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's no federal government programs that cover these. So if you could talk a little bit about how the transition in the ending welfare as we know it to TANF, temporary aid to needy families, which meant fewer cash transfers, what that's meant for diaper need, why that's increased since so-called welfare reform.
So this is the big shocker, right? When I tell people about this, they immediately tell me, well, they can just buy it with SNAP, with food stamps, or they can buy it with WIC, which is a program for low-income mothers with children, right? You would think it would be a qualifying expense. It is not. Under both of those programs, they're not considered a nutritional product, so you can't buy them with either of those. And then, like you mentioned, once you know, we had welfare reform in the mid-1990s that eliminated a cash assistance program that many families were using for diapers. Instead, now we have TANF, but TANF is a program that less than a quarter of low-income families can access, and that access has been going down over time. And so what we saw happen in its place was the rise of these diaper banks in the early 2000s, which are like a food bank. They're nonprofits. They collect diapers and distribute them to families for free across the country. There's over 200 of them. And they're doing this work really with these tiny little staffs, I mean, servicing enormous, enormous areas to try to get at that need.
For full disclosure, I sit on the advisory board of the North Carolina Diaper Bank, and the need is stunning. It's jaw-dropping. Because these are, you know, basically operating as charitable nonprofit organizations. They also don't all have the same kind of rules about access. You come to the diaper bank. Others, as you were showing in your reporting in Missouri, are actually partnering with places like food banks in order to find the families who have these needs. Again, based on your reporting and with the folks that you were talking with and working with, how is diaper need then connected to other kinds of poverty-based needs? What are diaper banks showing us about the world?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. The bank I followed in Missouri, they do exactly what you said there. They partner with churches, with food banks, with all kinds of organizations in a 50,000 square mile area, an area the size of the state of Florida, essentially, to try to get diapers into these rural pockets of the country. And I think what it has shown us, I mean, diaper need is connected to all of these other needs as well, right? You have food insecurity that is particularly acute in this part of the country that we were in rural parts of the country. And so diaper need is connected to all of these things. So it's like a window into poverty and what it looks like.
I was also struck in your reporting about the research and the research showing, as you were alluding to earlier, the particular postpartum depression, stress, and sense of being an inadequate parent because of the inability to provide diapers. Can you say a bit more about what you heard from people as you were reporting out this story?
Yeah, the research is really interesting, particularly that piece that we talked about earlier about this being a higher indicator of postpartum depression, exactly for that reason. And I'll take you through some of the things that, you know, folks often tell me. And I think it's a little frustrating for parents because they also hear this as well, right? Well, why did you have kids if you can't afford the diapers, right? That's a big one. And sometimes I think we take sort of a middle-class lens on how we think about this, right? Like you go to school, you get a job, you get a house, and then when you're stable enough, then you have kids. Life is not that linear and that simple for folks. It's a lot more complicated, right? And so you have people that sort of move in and out of poverty. So the family that I was mentioning earlier, Angela, her family was doing okay when they had their kids, right? And then something happened. Her husband got sick. He lost his job. This was during the Great Recession. Then they got evicted. And so things piled up. And that is what sort of led them to really struggle with diaper need. And so it's really difficult for families because when they do speak up about diaper need, they're sort of cast aside. Well, why didn't you even have these kids? Well, these kids are already here, right? And they need the diapers now. And the other thing is, well, why don't you just use cloth? Which, cloth is a great option, but it's not for everybody. If you don't have a washer dryer, cloth becomes almost impossible, right? If you can't afford a $100 pack of diapers a month, you cannot afford cloth diapers. They cost much, much more on the onset to buy them. So there are a lot of reasons why cloth is difficult for folks. And if you're working, are you cleaning those cloth diapers all day long, right? And if you want to put your kids in daycare, you know, some daycares will not accept cloth. So there's a lot of barriers, but this is what parents are hearing over and over and over again. Well, you should just, or you should just, or you should just.
I want you to say a little more about daycare to help us to understand the ways that so many of these families are working families. In fact, families where every adult in the household is working, and that diaper need is actually connected to that. I think, again, folks who may not have young children in childcare may not understand that diaper child care center connection.
Yeah, that's a big one. So when you go to put your child in a daycare, you need to provide all of the diapers they are going to need for the day. So that's 10, a dozen more diapers. You know, these families are struggling to get enough. Sometimes they're rationing diapers or trying to, you know, use fewer diapers during the day. And they might not have enough up front. That means you cannot put your child in childcare. Well, there was a study out of North Carolina, the bank that you know well, that found that 7% of diaper bank recipients of those parents were not going to work specifically because they did not have enough diapers to put their children in childcare and then go to work. And then when those families were provided the diapers, 15% said it allowed them to return to work or school, 18% said it allowed them to put their kids in childcare. So there's a big correlation there that is really important. We heard from some childcare centers that they were putting a Sharpie mark on a child's final diaper change of the day. And the next day, that same diaper was coming back, which means parents were not changing their kids just to make sure that they could put them in childcare. And so those two things are really important because it also hampers a parent's ability to go to work if they can't put their child in care.
What are the solutions? What are the policy proposals that are on the table? And given how long this has been a problem, why haven't we seen them move forward?
You know, I think there's a couple theories as to why. I mean, look, diapers are sort of a small expense in the grander scheme of the national budget, right? $200 million, it's what's been proposed. This year was actually a bit of a landmark year for diaper need. We saw a lot more attention to it, I think partially because of the pandemic. And we saw two bipartisan bills emerge, both of which would give about $200 million in aid to the diaper banks specifically for this work. And then a couple other stipulations that, you know, you could use diapers with a health savings account, a couple other things that you could do with them. And so that was the first time we saw bipartisan support for diapers. But like with many things, these things take time, right? And so nothing has really happened. Those have been proposed. They're sort of sitting there in the record and nothing has moved forward. And I spoke to Representative Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut, the head of the House Appropriations Committee, who was the first person to propose a bill on diaper need in 2011. And she also recently helped pass the child tax credit, which is something she had been advocating for like 20 years. And she talks about it similarly. You know, with the child tax credit, it wasn't that folks didn't want to support it. It was that there was indifference. They thought it was too small or just didn't want to focus on it. And with diaper need, it might be the same thing. It might just be indifference.
It's fascinating, your point that it's small dollars at the big federal government level, but it is it's huge in each individual family's budget. While we're waiting on public policy to make a change, did you hear anything from local banks, from the activists and nonprofit folks that you were reporting with about what they need?
I mean, they just need money. You know, they are cash absolutely strapped in the work that they are doing. I mean, the bank that I was working with has two paid staffers who are not getting paid very much to run this entire operation, 105 partners, I think, in 50 counties, 50,000 square miles, going out in their own van with diapers in the back to get these to folks. I mean, these are sort of grassroots operations that are happening across the country. And it's particularly difficult in these rural parts because, you know, you're driving these winding roads and it's hard to get there. So that's really what they want, is just to get a little bit more aid. And that's why these bills proposed were supportive of those. And then just more awareness. You know, I still think, you know, a lot of the time they're still telling people about diaper need for the very first time. Even the partners that they're working with forget to tell folks that they can get diapers at the food bank. So, you know, people are coming and they don't know that this is even something that's available to them. They don't know they can even ask for it. And that's still where we are. So stigmatized, so silent. That's what we talked about, it being sort of an invisible part of poverty in this country. It is so silent. And so their hope and my hope with the story at the 19th too, was just that people would understand that this is happening and people don't feel like they have even the ability to talk about it because they'll be, you know, talked down to and they won't be understood.
Chabeli Carazana is an economy reporter for the 19th, and she recently wrote an article about diaper need in rural Missouri. Thank you for joining us, Chabeli.
Thank you so much. So glad I could speak about this today.
My name is Lisa. I'm calling from Bradford, Pennsylvania. My daughter will be 39 in January, and 39 years ago, I had problems paying for diapers. My friends who with children had problems paying for diapers. We were all working. The price of diapers were outrageous 39 years ago. It's still outrageous for so many people not to be able to pay for diapers.
Hi, this is Kate from Pennsburg, Pennsylvania. It's been a while since I've had to buy diapers for our own household, but I do remember struggling to figure out how to pay for everything. how many I could buy on that week's budget. It really is a struggle, and I appreciate that now we're in a position where we can buy diapers and take them to a local food pantry.
This is Bonnie calling from Parker, Colorado. With diapers and my children, I was extraordinarily blessed that for my baby shower present, my father and stepmother provided diapers for the entirety of their need for our children. So that was an incredible gift for us and really helped our family get through those diapering years, which can be very expensive.
My name is Pam Stuckey, and I just wanted to mention the diaper bank. I hope that will come up as part of the discussion. I know they've been an invaluable source of diapers for people in the Washington, D.C. area and its surroundings. So I hope that's available in other parts of the country, but they definitely help here.
My name is Tina, and I'm from Portland, Oregon. So our daughter is 9 years old, and so we remember almost a decade ago, when we found out we were pregnant, we would sit down and actually calculate per package and each diaper what it would cost us if we were to purchase it, say, at Costco or at a Safeway or a Target. And then if Target was going to do a special sale for you and you got $5 back or $10 or a $20 certificate, then you would break that down into the diapers and figure out how much it would cost. And I think on average, about 10 years ago, it was a quarter a diaper was the cheapest we were able to find. And of course, when you're on a budget, and if you're not a wealthier, privileged family, not only are you counting the diapers, but your children tend to stay in them longer. And there are studies that show this. So even diapers are a privilege, something to think about.
I never struggled to afford diapers. I made the decision before I had a child that I didn't want environmental damage to be lasting just from diapers, which are one of the worst environmental hazards. So I invested in cloth. It's an investment at first, but then you save hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and it's better for the child, and it's better for the environment. Petaluma, California, this is Larice Levine.
Marilyn LaMonica, calling from Somerville, South Carolina. My father was in hospice for about 2 years. He recently passed away, and working with a friend who was volunteering with hospice, she found that a lot of people were struggling to pay for adult diapers, which are extremely expensive. And Medicare only pays for, you know, about 100, I think it is. Don't quote me on that. However, because it's so expensive, I ended up donating the ones that were left over from my father to a younger hospice patient. It's just unbelievable to me that basic needs are not being met. And with the rise of inflation and things going up on a daily basis, it just seems like it keeps on getting worse. It's a vicious cycle.